Oh, sorry. Did you get it? You want me to restart?
Yes, restart.
Okay. I'd like to call the January 8th, 2019 regular scheduled meeting to order. I request a moment of silence and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First day on the job and I already messed up. Forgot to turn on the recorder.
Be careful.
Okay, roll call, Joel.
Okay, roll call, Bo Miller.
Present.
Mark Sattler.
Present.
Dave Bench.
Present.
Roll call complete.
Okay, looks like we're going to do the approval of the December 20th minutes and the January 3rd reorg.
Well, no, because Mark gave me...
Changes?
But I don't think they're just grammar.
Yeah, they're
so
minor.
Okay.
I think you probably can, because it's fine with me. Other than what Mark has to change, which is grammar, so...
It is just grammar?
Sentence no, structure.
Yeah, really, yeah.
No numbers are changed.
Correct. It didn't change any numbers. Correct.
Okay. I did get to look over the December 20th, but I did not get a chance to look over the reorg meetings that close.
Do you want to table it till next time, or do you want to...
I mean, if you guys have read the reorg and you guys are comfortable with it, if one of you guys want to make it, that's fine.
I don't
fine.
See anything wrong with it.
Okay.
Should we do them separately, though? Usually.
We'll do the December 20th first. So I move to accept the December 20th minutes.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Okay, roll call. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, looking for a motion for the January 3rd reorg meeting minutes.
I can make a motion to accept the January 3rd reorganizational minutes as I read them.
I can second it.
Okay, roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Abstain.
Roll call.
Motion
carried.
Okay, fiscal officer's report.
Hey, you have a very short report. There's a fund status report printed out 3 minutes ago, 3 seconds ago. No bills have been paid in 2019, and just have to finish entering temporary appropriations. You already have received, I believe, in your box, the appropriations, the kind of the end of the year stuff, what we ended 2018 with, that highlighted document. Did I only give that to you?
Mark? No, you did not give us. I did not see that one.
Okay. I'll make copies. It's just what we ended with carryover balances. So that I guess we discussed it after the reorg meeting, just in passing. I know those got updated in some budgets, but you know the carryovers are there. You can see what those are, and since we only appropriated $325,000, and has been approved, just have to put that in so we can start paying bills for 19.
Joel, on the carryover for all the funds, I understand that we have a carryover for 2018. Mm-hmm. We won't, but we still could have bills to pay, or we still need money to operate in 2019 first. And we got to use some of that carryover money, correct?
Well, the budgets that you guys have been looking at for the last couple months didn't include any carryover. So you have that additional money.
Okay.
But yeah, you want to have carryover to, because, well, it's always good to have cash in the bank.
Right.
So that's what the carryover means, cash in the bank. But appropriation money, revenues, which are in the various funds' budgets, is a different story, right? You're going to get that money later. So we have cash in the bank.
So we still need those. We have to use that money to operate the first month or two.
Yep, cash in the bank. So that's why you adopt temporary appropriations at those amounts and hope that carries us for a couple months, in which it should. But, yeah, absolutely.
Anything else for Joel?
The shortest report you're ever going to have.
Maybe just an update on updating the various budgets with carryover, when those will be available in terms of planning for final appropriations.
Yeah, I could just send you an email. Since you already have the Excel sheets, and Mark, I think you're the only one that has a change sheet for the fire department.
Right.
I mean, you tell me, is that when it gets sent back out, I guess, the version that we plugged together.
Yeah,
and you included the carryover in that.
Right.
I'm not going to update each fund to show carryover, like on an item. I guess I could, but it just needs to be aware it's there, because you're going to appropriate what you agree to appropriate for then what revenue you expect to bring in. So it just would be in your fund status as additional monies, and don't plan on spending it, right?
Is there a place where we can see the carryover numbers by
yeah.
cost center? Okay.
Yeah. Great. I'll just give you a final appropriate. Okay. I know one of you has one already that I think I just gave. But remember that one that the highlighted for each fund?
Okay. I don't
Do you have
know.
Any paperwork?
Might be. That one could be on my desk, Joel.
It's okay.
All right.
And I could provide that here. It'll just take me a moment if you want me to.
Yeah,
let me go get it?
Tonight. Well, you can do it. I mean, if you want to do it tonight before we leave, it would be nice.
I mean, because we're moving towards permanent appropriations, which in that number becomes very important, right? Because then you say, okay, this is our real fund budget for 2019, not our temporary one. Why don't you give me a moment? I'll be right back.
It's up to you. We're not going to move on that tonight. We're just... I would just like to have time to study it a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we've been looking over these pretty heavy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You
know, so then we'll have those, then we'll have a chance to review them, and then maybe at next meeting, then we can try to get through as many as possible and get ready for permanent preparations.
Yeah, we have the time. We're set up way better now than we ever have been, yes. to say.
Yes, and thank you. You've done a great job.
No, and I get it, because I don't want to be going on March 1. To go to permanent appropriations, right. That's really stupid.
That's where we used to use.
Yeah. And February is a short month, so you only have so much time to get that right. done. Right. So you'll get the 12/31/18 appropriation report. And since all the purchase orders are closed, it's zero. There's nothing open outstanding, encumbered from 2018 that's yet to be charge, so that's the real raw number. So that's the only thing I have is the fund status report this time for the to approve. It's what you see in front of you.
We need a motion for the fiscal officer's report.
Well, that I'm gonna have a separate report just for the fund status, I would think.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I'll have a report just on the fiscal officer side, but the fund status, I guess you guys need to just say, hey, this looks fine, or it's not okay. And so again, these are your actual beginning, 1-1 numbers, right? So this is what you have. Cash in the bank, Star Ohio, which hasn't changed except for interest that gets reinvested, right? So
Right. Good. I move for approval.
I can second that for the fund status, right?
Correct.
And I guess let me read off what's on there. I'm sorry, too. In pooled investments, Star Ohio, $582,470.45. And in our Star checking account at Krogan Bank, $207,292.37. Sorry. Okay. Motion second. Okay, roll call. Bo Miller?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Mark Sattler?
Yes.
Motion carried. So lastly, I met with a gentleman just before the meeting started, Cal Anderson from Otarma. He is tasked with going to every township in the state, and all 1,700 of them, and to
kind of just survey our electronic risk. So luckily we're not very electronic. Like, we have a couple computers and very limited risk in his eyes. Some consulting, this is paid for by Otarma, so we pay for this, right, at our fee, but just best practices, and he was happy to hear of what we have in place, and yeah, he's a nice guy. Didn't know really what he really wanted. And so UAN, at least from my perspective, doesn't give much access to anybody to make changes, but he was very familiar with what is in place with UAN to protect us from that. So that was an interesting meeting. I'm going to pawn him off to the fire department for just an easy, quick consultation as well. Only because he was interested to see, so what is over there? It's all township property anyways, and he's just curious. So what are we doing over on that side of things? He's just curious, you know. So luckily we don't have a big exposure, right? We have a website and one accounting computer and a cemetery computer, and we're backing things up properly, and it all looks good. So any questions on that stuff with him? And I know, Mark, you talked to him for a minute.
Yes. Yeah. He's very knowledgeable and has some really great ideas about how we can improve our IT security. And he also had some ideas on how we can reduce expenses and take on a few more tasks ourselves instead of outsourcing them.
That's all I have. And unless you guys have any questions about anything. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Fire department.
Good evening, everyone. We'll just start out with the old Medic 32 is on GovDeals. All the information has been provided back to them. It started the bid at $10,000. We originally bought the vehicle for $74,000 and some change is what the original value of that vehicle was. So they have a document they provided. We filled it out, sent it back to them, sent them with the photos, and so that's done. The next phase moving forward with the extractor, I'm expecting to receive the extractor within the next couple weeks. It'll arrive here by freight, and then we'll need the Kevin to offload it for us. But moving forward, there's still some things that have to be done in the building. So the extractor bid was very specific. It allowed us to purchase the extractor. It didn't allow us to modify our building or do any of those things. Those are all on us. So I provided put a bid package together, and so far I've not got a price back yet, but I'm expecting it any day. So on the extractor proposal work is, one, we need to install a on-demand hot water heater that'll be mounted in the apparatus bay because the extractor needs to be put in there. Next is moving some water lines to be able to accommodate it, as well as electrical. We have a 220 supply, but it has to be moved into another section. And so all of that was provided in a scope. We have Dymex Services along with TAS Electronic. They're teaming up to provide a comprehensive bid price. So once I get that first preliminary, I'll bring it back to you guys and see where we're at and see if we have to have other competitive bids or not. I have no idea what the cost is going to be yet. There's also one other thing I've elected to add to the additional work is the move of a plymo vent. There's a plymo vent system that is available for rescue engine. Rescue engine does not need it because it has the DEF system, but we need it on the north side to accommodate the dive truck. So all we're going to do is contractor will just take that one, move it from the south bay to the north bay. It just stays in the same location, just flips over to the other one, and that will accommodate that. that's the details of that. Next is the, I got the first package involving third-party billing. There's some questions that need to be answered, and moving forward on just the preliminary, and then we'll set up some dates, and I'm still waiting to contact another firm. So I, you know, we're going to talk to at least two firms, if not, you know, more than that, on the third-party billing. So that's in the works. Drill credits, I was trying to modify the drill credit form that we went through, and I didn't get that done yet. So I'll just table it till next week meeting, and then we'll go through that finalization. But nothing's changing. Everything is, you guys have already adopted everything. It's just a formality of that. So it'll get inserted into the SOP master. Captain Wolf went out to Bauman Motors, and we're just beginning the look at the state bid costs for the pickup truck. So that's all we're doing right now, is just getting an idea where that truck may come into, and we gave them some variables. We gave them gas versus diesel, 3/4 ton versus 1 ton, 8-foot bed versus 6-foot bed. We're sure we want a 4-door cab truck, but and then we're also looking at how much water the brush unit would, the skid unit would need, and the GVW needed, required, and all that stuff. So we're just in the beginning phase, but I just wanted to let you know we're just beginning to move forward with that one. We ended our year in 2018 with 384 runs. That's up a bit from what our norm is. And so far this year, we're already at 9 runs this year. So out of EMS, we've had 7 of them have been EMS related. We've had 1 fire run. That one, you may have heard, that one was at Tri-County Tire yesterday. And then difficulty breathing and hemorrhage is the 2 big ones, and 1 assist. So some of these are repeat customers for us. It's just what's going on. Some people are on blood thinners, and just, you know, it's very difficult for them. So we're happy to be able to help them and get them to the hospital and get them taken care of. I'm sure you've all heard, but Fire Chief Paul Mullins from Oregon has retired, and the interim chief at this time for City of Oregon is Denny Hartman. So, not a big deal, just sharing that they have a change within their rank and file, so or in their command staff. Oregon did assist us last night, as well as Alan Clay Joint came to us for the fire, and I'm currently writing up auto aid packages where they will, when we have a confirmed structure fire, we don't necessarily have to call for mutual aid. It'll be an auto aid to us. It's still all involved in the mutual aid packet agreement. There's no obligations of payment or anything of those nature. It's still that. It's just dispatching will be quicker, and that's what we need, because even though it was last night, and you know, you'd think we'd have a lot of personnel around, but we're still like, it's more having enough personnel than anything for the day of the fire. I had put together a few items of quick talking points that I thought maybe we were going to be talking about, and I'll share these to you guys. So disregard the title page. I was going to present this to you at the appropriation meeting, but that wasn't the right time or place. It's just a view of... So one, we've submitted for a tanker grant and to replace the aging engine 31. Recruiting and retention is our highest priority. So I'm going to look at taking some of our fire levy signs, the Corplast signs, materials, and maybe having a new label put on it, specifically recruiting. And I'm thinking about 3 of them that we can place on Corduroy Route 2 and Brown Road, so we can hit some of our audience and continue trying to recruit more. Focused on reducing illness and reducing carcinogens, that's what the extractor is, and getting into the better practices of changing out this gear every time we do this. The improvements of our annual training for all of our essential skills with better documentation, meaning that we're going to utilize our emergency reporting to start tracking all of that training. Before it was all done on paper, now we're going to continue using it, not only for training, but it'll also assist in maintenance on the vehicles. There are different tabs for different things that we can work in. So we're trying to work into those things. Last year we did complete the washing of the bay and painted the new wall. The new trench got put in, so we've got a lot of our stuff done. The one thing I put in here is Rhino Coat application to the lower steel section of the exterior of the building. We're starting to see some exterior deterioration on our lower part of the steel. I was going to entertain a price from one of those companies to see what they could do about trying to protect that and prolong it, and we'll just see where that comes into play. We're continually routinely inspecting and replacing and upgrading aging and defective equipment. For instance, just trying to keep you guys informed when our turnout gear, the changeover of turnout gear periodically comes into play, and so on and so forth. So we're looking at, this is our 75th year anniversary, and we're trying to look up and have a nice community day to celebrate that milestone. Our thoughts and ideas would be to use our park over here. We wouldn't really do anything at the station. It would be all over there, and it'd be a summertime activity, and we would try and encourage maybe a softball game, maybe a water ball game, kind of bring back some of the old stuff, and really try and get the community to come in and join us. My only worries is I know we've got a lot of stuff going on with Curtis Kids Day and everything else, and not trying to take one away from the other or anything like that, but we'll see. I've got some committee members, and we're kind of seeing where we're going. We'll always continue hosting our fire prevention events. We had a great turnout last year. The committee members did a phenomenal job organizing that. I already mentioned about the state bid on the truck, selling the old 32. We're going to be looking into grants, see what we might be able to get for a potential of upgrading some of our SCBAs, because that's a very high dollar. Our SCBAs were purchased in a grant years ago, and we're probably coming close to the age of upgrading that stuff again. So we'll continue to look for grants that will help us. And we're also looking at a radio headset to improve our communications. That's it. I just wanted to give you a quick view. That's where we're headed currently in 19. I work with a nice team of people. Even some of the firefighters just come up with some really good ideas, and I appreciate those ideas, and it works out. So we're trying to see where we can go. Apologize for that. We do have the blood drive coming up on the 25th.
Yeah, 25th. Yeah.
So I do have a couple people that have stepped up to helping champion that. We'll provide some blood pressure cuff readings and stuff like that. And we'll help to facilitate cleaning or setting up the building and taking the building down or whatever. But it will be in the hall back here.
12 to 6.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and the Broncos will be in that.
Yeah, 6:30. Yep, so.
Oh, and we did have the scouts. They had their clinic for their thing. As far as I'm concerned, everything worked out fine. They were very, very respectful of our facility. There was absolutely no issues. They cleaned up after themselves very appropriately. They barricaded the areas so the kids wouldn't touch any of the trucks or equipment of that nature. I was happy. Everything worked out fine. I'm happy to host it. Just like tonight, we have the tractor club in there tonight. And I look forward to these people. That's just me. I'm glad other people are using our fire department building. for these purposes. I think that's just a good image on our part, so.
Yes, Chief, thank you for taking care of that on Saturday. I didn't realize that was their big, the Scouts' big Pinewood Derby kickoff, where they, because usually if we have a paying rental, we just move them. It's not a big deal. And I had already committed to a paying customer, and I called her and said, hey, we're going to move you over to the fire department. She's like, oh, she goes, we got to do all this. I'm like, oh, if you had told me, I would have not, if I known it was that one, we would have maintained it for you. So, but yes, I appreciate you taking care of that for us on Saturday. Anybody got anything for the chief?
Totally forgot. I'm sorry, I don't have a paperwork. I would like permission to take on a new applicant, Richard Spafford. He's 32 years old. Well, I'm not supposed to tell you that anyway. 9115 Seaman Road. He's buying the house there. He's a graduate apprentice boilermaker. Lives with his wife and his daughter here, and would like to join the department. We had interviewed him. I apologize, my office is a bit of a mess trying to do too many things at once, but so I do not have his application, but he was interviewed by the members of the fire department, and I'd like permission to take him on.
What did you say his name was? Richard?
Richard Spafford, S-P-A-F-O-R-D.
Okay, so we can make a motion to bring on Richard Spafford pending a background check and physical.
Yep.
For the fire department.
Second that.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried.
I do this every time. I apologize. And I say that all the time, too. We are looking at our fire instructors, may host the 36-hour fire course within our station. So we've got permission from Oregon, meaning they're the accrediting school, Oregon Fire Department, not Clay. So they are more than willing to work with us in that. We would put some information out for other departments if they have some members. And then, so we're just trying to go through these logistics. So this could be a huge help. Right now we have possibly 5 of our own people that could benefit from this training and education. The next EMT class that is coming available is supposed to be in February. So Richard Spafford and everything works out, he would more likely be going to the EMT, not the
Perfect.
Fire at this time. So.
Perfect.
No, I quit. I'm done.
You sure? All right, that's your last chance.
That's it.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Oh, Mr. Mike, Rec Department.
Okay. Programming-wise, actually their coaches are picking their teams right now for boys basketball and the girls volleyball. So that practices will start anytime. I mentioned before, this is one of the busiest times with the gym usages. So it'll be, it's always interesting to see how it works out. So that's happening now. I check on the fields, quite often, and they still look good with the, usually about this time of year, somebody gets a good idea to run around on them and make some tracks on it, and no one's been out there yet, so hopefully it stays like that.
Knock on wood.
So that is, looks pretty good out there. I have been in the barn a couple times over here. Like I mentioned last time, I'm going to try to get rid of some of that stuff, and I think it's going to be taking me a little bit longer than I thought. I'm still going to work on that for a little while here and hopefully get that done, taken care of before the end of the month. I'm not going to throw out any, obviously, until you guys zero value it, and there's just some old stuff in there that just needs to go. I'll just write it all up.
Still looks better, Mike, than it did.
It looks a lot better.
Yeah.
It does look a lot better. I did talk to Mark from True Green. All the changes were made that we've asked for, Kevin asked for. Those were done. He did forward me the new bill, which I gave it to Joel. I assigned it, approved it, and it's done. So we should be all set for the whole season.
Mike, did he give us the analysis too?
You know, when I talked to him, I forgot to ask him because I emailed him the next day. And I got like a email back that says I'm out of the office till the 7th. And then he called me on the 2nd, and by that time I totally forgot. But I'm going to call the secretary tomorrow. That is my fault. Okay. I did, is it Bill Belcoffer? It's Bill Belcoffer, right?
Yeah.
Okay, he did call me back. And he did give me a price for the walkway, and he said he could do it for $3,800. That was only the part that we were doing for ourselves. So you have those three prices, but now, you know, the one's a couple months old. So I think what I should do, what do you guys think? Write them up two different things, what our part is, their part is, and wait a couple till it's warmer and redo the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Now, is the school going to do it?
As far as I know, yes. According to Dean, like I told you before, they wanted the hard number. I know Zigray's been off for a while. He's got some issues with his back or something. So yeah. I've been looking for him. Someone told me the other day he's been off like a month. So I didn't contact with him at all. So, we'll redo that, and then when it gets warms up, we'll revisit that. I did get the email from Mark. We didn't meet our first meeting because it was on New Year's Day. So we'll meet in February, and then I'll stagger those dates, and then I'll email, like I mentioned to you earlier, you and that company, and get that
done. Great. So that's, go ahead.
We are looking for a board member or two, if anybody would have any suggestions. I think we would take anyone, but we need some staggered ages as well. So that's not ages, let's say, like a grandpa in there, a younger family, you know, the whole shebang. So if you have any ideas, just please forward that to me, and we will.
On the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Good.
We're starting a township page, so
okay.
That might be something we can put out there, get to a lot of people.
Yeah. Seems like they go over kind of quick. It starts off, everyone's, and then it kind of fizz out. You know,
kids get older.
The kids get older.
Move on.
Yeah. So that's where we're at with that. That is pretty much all I have for tonight. I've been kind of quiet with the holidays and stuff. So.
Thank you, Mike. Miss Linda.
Right.
With the zoning.
I have a organization meeting you requested a kind of a printout, and I had an Excel sheet already started, but on this one, I took the blighted structures that I had from the last couple of years, put them into 2019 as a starting point.
Oh, wow.
So that's the first sheet.
That's quite a list.
So, I mean, the first page is just structures.
So these are all structures that are recommended for demolition?
Something
okay.
Should be done.
Okay.
I mean, they're open windows. They've been sitting vacant for years. In most cases, I mean, I didn't put the house on
Howard?
The end of Corduroy. That should be on here too. But it's a pretty good start. I figured it was a good start. As I keep looking through things, I always think, oh, I could have included that, and that. So I figured that's a start. We did demo, I mean, we demoed two houses last year. We demoed a house the year before. The year before that, I worked with a private owner that we got the adjoining landowners to sell it, and they demoed it themselves. So in the last 3 years, there were five houses taken down. And then I think there were two before me in like 2014. So we've taken down, there's been 10 taken down in the last 8 years. So that's a pretty good number, and there are 11 on this list. So that kind of shows you there. So the next page is how many violations I sent out for 2018, which was 40. I mean, there's a large chunk of them that are grass in there. And after I sent them out, to be quite honest, I couldn't follow up on all of them. A lot of people called me back and said they were doing this and this, or that wasn't my property. When I do the research, sometimes that's hard to do. But I included 17 and 16 with those. And then the last sheet in there is the zoning permits for the last 3 years. So last year we had 43 zoning permits. Two biggest ones were 9 new construction and then 11 accessory structures. So that's that. If you want me to tweak that in any way, what I just plan on doing is I add to the bottom of the Excel sheet when I add something. Or when something changes, that's where they're yellow, the back sheets. When we've kind of gotten through and we've taken care of things, I highlight it in yellow. Okay. I have 2 court cases that I just turned over to the prosecutor. Okay, and I'll give you the material that I gave the prosecutor. So this is Dean Trucking. It's named Dean Trucking, but on the auditor's page, it's Luce, owned by Luce. First page is old pictures, but the rest of them are new. That's the hotel.
That's hotel.
Confused there for a minute.
Okay, yeah, that's the hotel. So they've added a lot to the back. There's even an extension cord running from those shipping containers now to the main building, and I ran that past the fire department, so they're going to check on that. It's actually buried into the stone because I think they ran over it enough times that it's now part of the parking lot. So I cited them for the blight that's there and the 3 shipping containers. So then this one's a trucking. They're 2 separate packages. I have the neighbor that has been sending me some documentation about what's going on. It's in the back. But if you look at the first sheet, what I'm keying in on is they're only supposed to be operating under their conditional use permit from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. And they are operating at all hours of the night. And the lights shine into the neighborhood across the street, and you'll see some of those pictures. And it was supposed to be dump trucks hauling aggregate, and these are full-blown semis. And I believe they're hauling steel. Something heavy. So both of those have been referred to the prosecutor. Have any questions on that? The noise level is above what it's supposed to be. I asked her how she got the readings. You know, she put the app on the phone, kind of like how we did when we had the issue on North Curtis, and it was 68 decibels.
I think that's going to be a tough one there on the noise ordinance on a truck route.
Yep.
I mean, that's my opinion on that one. Mm-hmm. And how accurate is the phone?
Yeah.
You know.
Right. I get it.
You know.
But it's just a matter of showing them what. I mean, it's in a residential neighborhood. It might be on a trucking route, but I don't think that was supposed to be a semi-hauling trucking route.
This is, you sent this to the prosecutor, you said?
Yep. And I did that because I was getting no response from them. In fact, the last time I talked to Mr. Luce, they're doing nothing over there. So he wouldn't engage at all. Just got very combative. Yes. The one on North Curtis. And then if you don't have any questions on that, then I'll give you my update for the last month. So I only had two zoning permits, kind of slow, for December. One was the tower off of North Curtis and Route 2. They're installing a generator, so they're really not adding anything. They're just pouring a pad and installing a backup generator. And then we have Joel Moskowitz building a house on North Curtis Road.
You gave him a permit?
I gave Mark Riggs a permit.
Yeah, I did.
And I just give Mark money. It's amazing how that works.
who got the generator?
It's American Tower, so the one up by Joe's.
That cell tower?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The only reason I'm interested in is the fuel storage for it.
I have the natural gas there. I don't think so. Okay, the land bank. So you have the paperwork. We finally got the paperwork, and if you notice, this is for 11961 Canal. That's where the house burnt down, and the neighbors would like to purchase that. You've been cleaning it up. It was pretty clean. They started that foreclosure in 8/2016. And he sent me the final paperwork 1/7/19. So that just kind of gives you a feel for how long it takes the land bank to close on a deal. So a year and a half.
So this agreement is for us to acquire it from the land bank?
Yes, if you're willing to accept that property. And then I also already have the paperwork that the adjoining landowner would like to accept that property, but we have to accept it first.
We have to accept it first, okay.
Alright.
You want us to do that tonight?
Yeah.
Did we...
Do I do it now or do you want to do it when you visit?
No, we can do it now. I take it you already have the paper ready for the other... To sell it?
We could do it if you want.
Or do you want to do that at the next meeting?
Let's
sell it.
The next meeting.
So we'll accept it tonight.
Okay. Yeah, let's get this taken care of because I got to send it in.
Alright. I'll make a motion. I'll move to accept the property at 11966 Canal Avenue, parcel number 33-66927 from the land bank.
Six or one?
Must be six. He's reading it off the transfer.
Which one?
11966?
Yeah, 11966 Canal Avenue.
So I have misprint.
Mm-hmm. And the parcel number is 33-66927.
I can second that.
Okay, roll call. Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
So the violations I sent out, I sent one out to Ace Roofing for blight shipping container, vehicles wood pile. He did move the shipping container, so that is a plus. He's got a long way to go. And then I sent another one out to 850 Main, which is the house across from Bono Tavern, which is just a shell. Court cases, I made the two for Dean Trucking and Leon Hotel. The other two that we had last from East Road and Donovan, they need to be compliant through April 1st. Keeps reminding myself. And then they gave the Wilhelm property until March 18th to be compliant. So that's all as far as court cases go. Zoning Board is attempting to renew review Chapter 2 of the Land Use Plan. If you remember, we asked about updating our land use plan, and I think the fee was like $36,000. We've been trying to do it. We haven't been real successful, but maybe we can get at least something done for chapter. Investigations, Dollar General, I did do a follow-up email on 12/26. The fences are back together again. They still need to level outside the fence, but they can't do that till spring. So I'm still working with them with that. I need to work on following up with Mr. McMaster up here about bringing vehicles and watercraft back, as well as Mr. Stanton on his property on Howard and Corduroy. So those are the two that I'm going to send some letters out and say, let's follow up and let's take care of this. Public concerns, I got two phone calls. Not really anything much that I can do, but it's nice to be aware of the issues. On Rachel Road, there's a discrepancy on, and this is a shame because the land bank had the property and they sold it to the current owner, and it should have went to the property owner, that there was a deviation of the line. The property line is included in their garage. So the property owner that got the parcel from the land bank is not being a good neighbor. So he's, some of the ditch cleaning dirt was put there, and now it's flooded their driveway. So the only thing they really can do is get an attorney and settle that line dispute.
You know, Linda, I've seen this happen. This dirt get dumped places and it makes a mess. Nobody does, they just leave it there. I think somehow we have to come up with something on this. Talk to the county, and we want to know where this dirt's going. The best way is to talk to the county, I think. But I've seen it in Reno.
Because they don't care where, unless it's over an acre, the county doesn't care where it's put. As far as them, but then again, all it is to them is a permit. So, as long as it's over an acre, they don't care where it goes. Now, we can care where it goes.
Yeah, that's...
And, yeah, they just backed in all along Rachel Road there, and all the frontage now is...
I've seen this happen through the years, and I think we got to do something about it.
So you want to see it about contacting the county?
Yeah.
You want me to do that?
You're the zoning inspector, so.
Okay. But that landowner is contacting an attorney. The same thing is happening up where we had the BZA, the dispute over 12,000 versus the 11,500 square feet to build a house up on Dyke. Bob Jablonski. He has had two people survey the property that have the same findings, and the landowner to the west has had a surveyor come out and has found different findings. So again, I really can't do much about that. That has to be some communication really between the surveyors and see how they did it differently and see if they can come to an agreement. But those are two that are out there, and you know, property line issues are in our township are issues, because Aries is not right. The county auditor's lines, and they will tell you they are not true. So those are two things that property owners have called me on. Structures, blighted structures. I just added those at the bottom to the list. I think Mark alluded to a couple of those, and then a couple have come about. But they are on your list, I do believe. I'm pretty sure about them. So that's all I have.
Can I see the address for Corbin on the bridge? Oh, yeah, it's just a little bell or something.
Guess I'm Jim.
Well, I did devour here. She's been busy.
Yeah.
That's quite good.
Yeah, Linda, I'd like to ask a question. Jim Boothby, where does the property at North and Rubin stand in that list? Is there any? I see that. I mean, I know
I know the township has cut grass for blighted properties over the summer, and bills of owners. It's got about neck-high grass, several abandoned boats, an abandoned house. Like, I can't believe that slipped through the cracks this long.
We had sent to us to cut it.
I'd be afraid to cut it.
And we got enough rain, we couldn't get in there. Then you can't mow it all anyhow, because there's so much
stuff.
Garbage in the weeds. We can mow the corner, but I will not put anything in between those boats.
I don't want that.
For the liability purposes of it.
Yeah, you tear your equipment.
But we can mow the corner, and that's what we typically mow. But this fall, we did not get in there by the ending date, and with everything being so wet, we didn't even attempt it after that.
But I mean, is that property on any of the lists for blighted properties? And I mean, there's a boat there that's been so there, it's literally falling apart into the earth and disintegrating. And beyond that, I'd like to take this opportunity to tell the trustees that Linda's done a nice job of working some of these cases and get rid of blight. It's starting to show in my neighborhood. I'm seeing things gone. I noticed the boat on Howard that had the trees growing through it that was 5 feet from the road.
So now it's down here.
Oh.
McMaster's guy down here?
But the trustee should know she's out there doing her job and a nice job of getting it done. It just takes in the process of the courts and the, you know, as I read the court docket, these people go to court month after month and they just get extended to the next month. Extend it 2 months. I take my attorney, extend it, and nothing ever gets done.
But on a property like that with the blight, you really can't do a whole lot. I turn it over to the land bank to see if they do an investigation. And then it depends on if they're back taxes. And then we can get it that way and then take care of it.
Taxes seem to be.
Yeah, and somebody's looking at purchasing that, I believe.
Because it looks like a house that was built and then nobody moved into it.
And then nobody moved into it.
They had too many building violations.
Is that what it was?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And they're doing a session down in Columbus next month. There's two of them on blighted vehicles. So I'm kind of looking for some new direction. Boats are an issue because nobody wants to take them.
Yeah.
And so unless you cut them up, and that takes quite a bit. So, you know, somebody asked, well, what are we going to do with them? I'm like, well, that's not my problem. I'm just telling you you're not supposed to have them. But if I can get a way for people to do it, it would help. So vehicles are on my list.
Oh, Linda, too, we had talked about Anchor Point.
I know. He was supposed to come and see me, but he hasn't stopped in to. We were going to have a discussion.
Okay. Since then, a building is going up there, too.
Oh.
At the pools. It just appeared.
That's why he doesn't want to talk, huh?
Probably. So, I'll keep that in my radar.
Anything else for the zoning inspector?
Thank you, Linda. There's obviously been a lot of activity.
Yeah.
And as Mr. Boothby indicated, a lot of folks have noticed the improvement over the past year or two, so thank you very much for everything you're doing.
All right. Kevin, you're up. Maintenance department.
All right. We'll start on the easy parts.
All right.
Cemetery so far. This year we've had the end of last year we had one full burial since our last meeting. I have a cremation burial scheduled for Friday, 11 a.m. That'll be for Paula Edwards. They finally got her remains back to cremate them, and so I got that Friday. I'd asked the last meeting about the paperwork for the adjoining neighbors. Did you guys get a chance to review that from the email that Linda sent you over of the paperwork?
Yes.
Does everything pretty much seem in line with you guys? Are you okay with the paperwork? If we need to review it some more or send back for another opinion, that's fine. I just like, by the first part of February, to get them the paperwork, give them 30 days to look it over and make sure there's no issues on their part, and then proceed with it if it's okay with you guys, before we decide in the spring we want to start doing something and we don't have a paperwork yet.
Yeah, I looked over all this when I got it, and it was what I could see out of it, everything was fine. There's a lot of language in here, but it's all legal. So, I know the lawyer drew it all up.
Basically, the two talking points on the whole thing is we're allowing them to have a 10-foot easement to be able to enter the backside of their property by waiving the 50-foot space away from their pole barn. So actually, we gained 40-foot, but we lost 10. We're a winner on the whole deal, the way the Ohio Revised Code is, if they're in agreement with it. The lawyer did find some other paperwork later on, and he sort of thought we might not have to go that route, but he wasn't quite sure with it yet. And we'd already went into this with them, and to be a good neighbor, putting the cemetery up close to them, if they're happy with the 10-foot, I think it's a workable agreement.
Yeah, Ken, I was comfortable with it as well. Do you simply need signatures, or do you need documented in the minutes?
Well, what I want to do is first give them a copy of the documents. If they've got a lawyer or something, they want to have them look it over. Give them time to read it, understand it, answer any questions for them. Let them let their lawyer, then we'll try to get all of us together to sign it, or go back to the lawyer and just see if they signed off, and you guys signed off afterwards. But I believe on his document, it takes a notary, so I need Joel or another notary when they sign it.
Okay, so at this point, you're simply looking for authorization to give them a copy of the the draft for review.
Yep, just to move ahead. I'm not looking for signatures at this point, just have them look it over and see if they agree with it.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with moving that.
As am I.
Also, yeah.
Okay, cemetery. We've had a headstone over there that we've had some issues with. Haven't got to talk to the family yet because I still haven't got her number yet. And she comes to the cemetery every day, usually by 10:30 in the morning. I've sat there two different days waiting on her, and she hasn't showed up. I'm going to catch up with her. I think they got into a family issue. that might be our problem. But the headstone's been moved a couple times, and one time it was tipped over. So I've documented. I got pictures of the headstone. There's a little bit of damage to the backside of it. I was going to fill out a police report on it, informed by the sheriff. Even though we are property owners, we cannot file a police report on it because we do not own the stone. So until I get in contact with her, there's no report. But it hasn't been touched in about a week and a half now. So I've been checking on it every day. If it becomes an issue, it starts getting moved again, I have another way of trying to track down who's doing it also. I've already checked some other ways. But just so you're aware, and that is the only stone in the whole cemetery that's been tampered with. It's far enough off the driveway, nobody can bump into it with a car. Somebody is physically just pushing it and moving it. So, just so you're aware of it. Moving on to the hall today, service the big generator for the complex. I still got to tighten up a fan belt on it. I did not have a big enough wrench here today. I found one at home, so tomorrow, the next day, we'll tighten the fan up on it. But other than that, should be ready to go. I got a problem with the kill switch on it when it shuts off. It must not completely shut the fuel solenoid off because it chugs for a little while. So I got to do a little more checking into that, and I'll most probably get that replaced along the way once I figure out which one it is. So, but otherwise, we ain't got to worry about it running. It runs fine. So, moving to the roads. I rode the roads that the county had given to us or pushed on us. Either way you want to look at it. There's numerous issues with it. I did write them down, but while I was doing it, I did not check catch basins and signs and ditches. So I will have to go back and physically every one of them check them so I can put that under the list. Most of them, well, might as well say all of them need berm both sides, full lengths. 90% of them need to be crack sealed. And with my recommendation with Howard Road, north of Corduroy, that also should get a chip seal done by the county. Due to the, just the amount of cracking and the top of the surface is starting to come loose. And the only way to save it now is chip seal it or mill it all out and re-blacktop it. And I'm sure they're not gonna re-blacktop it. So there is quite a bit of work, and not including a few drainage issues that me and Dave has already pointed out to them. So it's something, when I get it all together, I would like us as a group to get together, draft them a letter, and we get it to the engineer stating all the problems that we have found. Now, we did send them 4 years ago when they tried pushing roads off on us, a records request for conditions of all signs, basins, road conditions, everything, which was never fulfilled. They never sent us anything for a records request. So if we wanted to go that far into, I'd be happy enough if we get all the issues fixed that we found, and at least we should be in good shape for at least 5 years on them. So, still pumping yet. Hopefully, no more big rains next week. I'm gonna pull the pump out because there's some service work we got to do on it. The one bearing is starting to fail. It's lost the grease cap off of it, and it's the one that runs under the water all the time. So I'll have to pull that apart when we get it here and get bearings on it. But the bearing's not making a noise, but before we need it, I'll get that replaced. Now the big one, the estimated road project for this year, I put together 14 roads, which none of them are real big. You have the estimates from the county, which typically they're high. She put the length of roads being estimated from the county to equal 3 miles. But it's all broke up into pieces, and I don't know where that falls with the original estimate that I got for $10,000 per mile, but that was also minus the fog seal. I was hoping it wouldn't be $100,000, but it's $102,736 to do those 14 roads. That would completely do the whole Bono addition minus Main Street, which we just got. That road surface is in really good condition, and it's really wide, and it's asphalt. And that would finish up the Bunning-Donovan Road addition, because we already done two roads in there. This would just complete that addition as far as the tar and chip on top. Now, if you're looking for general figures of it, if you did the same amount of road in blacktop, depending on how deep you had to go for any repairs, you're most probably looking in the $500,000 range to do that same amount of road in asphalt. So you're basically $398,000 cheaper going this way, and it'll preserve that road depending on the amount of traffic for an extended amount of time.
So these are blacktop roads that you'll chip seal over top of blacktop.
Yes, mm-hmm. And this is the direction the counties went the last 3 years. When they first started out, they weren't real aggressive with it. Now they're getting more and more aggressive. They're even taking some of their 45 and 50 mile an hour roads and moving them also up to chip seal. Now, Ottawa County to the south of us, 99% of their roads
chip seal
that are county and township are all chip seal roads, mm-hmm, due to the cost and how quick you can do them. You know, for these amount of roads, like the town of Bono, they'll do that very easily in a day. That whole road will be done, with the exception of the fog seal process. They'll have to wait 2 weeks to come back. Then they'll spray that black aggregate over top of it. and it'll all be pretty and black. But that black only does last for a couple of years, then it turns to like a gray, but it does help. And that's with all these roads being fog sealed. You can knock money off if you decide not to fog seal them. It's just the direction we started going. Even the county's not really sold on the fog seal yet. You know, they did Cedar Point Road 2 years ago and fog sealed it. And it's already down to a, like a light gray color now.
Did they do Veeler too? Did they fog seal that one? Between Lyon and Elliston?
I think so, because they did that same time they did Cedar Point Road.
And that's a light gray now too, but it seems like that helped a lot hold the stone there.
It helps hold the stone. It once they come in 2 weeks later and spray that, pretty much eliminates any dust off the road then, except for the little points that may get sheared off. You get a little bit, but you won't even notice that. I personally think it does help quiet it down a little bit, because township roads are noisier than what your asphalt roads are. But for the price of it, for the distance you can go, for the longevity of the roads, I think this is our better way to go to get our bang for our buck.
Kevin, when they do this, I know the county gave you this estimate. Did they actually come out and physically look at the roads? Or they do it all off of maps?
They usually will come look at it, but I can tell you as quick as they got this estimate back, they most probably went off areas for length and width and just figured the totals. They didn't look particularly for damage or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. It was just what it would cost and how much emulsion per road and stone, and that's how they did it.
Was there any, on any of these roads, did you see anything that's going to need to be milled and filled? Or
not really milled and filled. Spray patching, Turnal Road for one. That's got where some of the storm sewer crossovers from about 6 years, six years ago have started to settle. That's going to need some, but we can do the spray patch afterwards. And even if they get in and put the fog seal on, then you'll just have a lighter color where they patch it. So either way, but yeah, it should have some. And if we get the spray patching in, I want to do Bunning Road.
Amen.
Lagoon and Rialto Road, because where they did all those sewer crossovers, I mean, there's some pretty good dips in some of them.
Bunning Road's terrible. Yeah.
But that's if we get that far. And just to let you guys know, we approved that $30,000 for this year to do the crack seal. And I've already told the county that we weren't going to do crack seal this year. I would like to, if we get a contractor that's reasonable, put that money into spray patching. Because I think doing the spray patching this year versus any crack seal, we'll get a better bang for our buck and we'll please a lot more people leveling up some of the roads from them crossovers.
Drive down Bunning sometimes, see how bad it is.
It is bad. I know, I've been down that.
Yeah.
Now, the recommendation from the county is Bono Road is going out for chip seal bid this year. The county is going to bid that, or put that out for bid themselves. We have to put this all out for bid ourselves. They'll get a bunch of the paperwork. Joel will have to finish all the financial paperwork, and we'll have to put it in. But if we get their date that they're going to put it in, and we get this in just before or about the same time, when a contractor's looking at that road, he's also going to see all this and will most probably get a cheaper price because there's a lot more mileage within that area and it's all real close. And still got to believe she's over quite a bit on her estimate. But right now they're looking, like I said, at $102,736. All this is for is for you guys to decide, do you want to dispense that much money this year on roads? And if we say okay, she'll start preparing the bid documents so we got them early summer. She doesn't want to do the bid package for all of it, then we decide not to do it. We got a lot of big projects going on this year. And
yeah,
Kevin, are there other roads in your inventory that, of township roads, that really need to be done in 19, other than what's on this list?
We could add some more, but knock on wood, if the winter stays going the way it is, those roads will hold until the 2020 project, because those roads I actually got listed for 2020, which the way that's sitting right now, I can move roads in and out of it. I'm just trying to keep them together in clusters just for the pricing of it and doing a lot of roads in a big chunk.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, Kevin, this is your best estimate of what really needs to be done in 19?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Thank you. This is very helpful. Okay. And do you have other... is this the only bid, or do you have other bids coming in?
This isn't a bid. This is an estimate of cost for the county.
Okay, all right.
They're just looking to see, are we willing to do this type of a project? If so, they'll compile the bid documents for us.
Okay.
To bid out come next spring or next summer, which I think they were talking July for the bid going out for Bono Road. So I would like to have it bid in July at the latest, because here the last few projects we've had, they've not been bid out till August. Then we're trying to hurry up in September before it gets too cold to get something done.
Yeah, it doesn't work out.
You mentioned another road or two. Is that a township road as well?
Yeah, but he was doing that. That was gonna be spray patched.
Oh, it's spray patched.
Bunning was just gonna be, or not. Right. Yeah, spray patch.
The only roads we'll be doing in the Bunning edition, Bunning, will be Donovan Road, Standard, and we'll be doing a piece of Yoder from Bunning to Standard, because there's a section of that starting to unravel. We got good asphalt here and good here, then there's a big chunk in the center, so we're just going to chip seal the whole thing, and that'll hold the road.
Okay.
Better.
Right.
And we don't have to have this exact answer tonight. If I get it the next meeting, just so I can tell her to go ahead and proceed with it. You know, look it over, if any more questions
are going to be for this year. That's what I'd like to do before I did that. Okay. Don't you agree, Dave?
Right.
Wait till we get the permanent appropriations. And
yeah, and then we can drive around and just check them ourselves too a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think we'll have the money for it. It's just,
I'd like
to see the end number before we commit to spending $100,000. So, but I like that idea, Kevin. I think it's the best way of going.
That's all I got, unless you guys got something for me.
Good. All right.
Unless anything else.
Trustees reports. Cemetery.
No updates on cemetery other than what Kevin reported on.
Okay. Hall rentals. We've had two hall rentals since the December 20th meeting. Roads and bridges, Dave? Anything?
I got all mine in old business here. We're talking about a few roads and that, so I'll just go there then.
All right. Moving on to old business. Repairs to the hall.
She talked to me a couple days ago, and she wants to meet sometime Thursday. I don't know when yet. She was going to call me in the morning, and I think it's going to cost us a little bit more if we want it all done. She's gotten into more trouble, and the bricks weren't tied down, and sometimes some of them crack when she's taking one out, another one. So she's going to talk Thursday. I'll give you guys a call when she when we make it out. It'll probably be around noon sometime, because I got a meeting in the morning, then I got a doctor's appointment at 3, so I figure around 1 or so maybe. I'm hoping that it works out.
But they've had in several areas is where they, and they've only been cutting out like 4-foot chunks to try to hold the integrity, but before they can get back and brace it up, there's like 3 other rows that'll come loose and come down. Mm. They've had to make some pretty good sized patches where they weren't in the scope of work, just due to the brick ties are failing in behind the brick.
So no, that, nothing was tied down.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Bono lighting.
I got some stuff back from the Edison, and so it's work in progress. It's more than I thought it was going to be, but they're putting these big 6-foot arms out, and I'm going to call them up and see if we can't just put a light on a pole or something like that, you know, because to light up the area. And I was going to talk to some of the residents, and I know they won't want to pay what, I forget, it was like, for those four, I think it was almost $4,000 just to get them up.
Really?
Yeah, so I know we'll never. So that's where that's at. I got to try and lower that amount and see what we can do. And
all right, ODOT trees, decant route 2.
I talked to him today again, and he acted like he didn't even know me. So I don't know what we're going to get done. He gave me back to Oak Harbor, and he said one of those guys would call me again. So I think Ron tried this too about 4 or 5 years ago, and I don't think we're going to get anywhere to clean that up, but I guess we try.
All right. County road transfer joint agreement with the Lucas County Engineers.
Again, I called Mike Panuski, and he didn't call me back, and because I have several different things to talk to him about, you know, Ward's Canal, and we're supposed to get together with that too, with the Metro Parks, so they fix their dikes so we don't get flooded, and a couple other things. So whenever he gets back with me the next meeting, you know, we ought to know. And then the roads too, also, you know, that agreement, I'm bugging him about that, so we get that done. So we don't end up with Arquette. So that's where that goes. And the same thing, I was going to hit him on Rachel and East, you know, the water issues there. And Kevin says that they're digging the ditch deeper there. Well, we've got to look at that and see if that's going to work, which probably won't. But we got to just watch and see what's going on. And yeah.
Okay.
And that number 6, that motor vehicle tax, if you guys got copies of it, don't you?
That's the additional permissive tax.
Yeah, it's ours. It's ours.
Yeah,
I don't remember seeing a copy of it. I remember talking about it, but right. Okay. I'm not saying I don't have it.
I got it, so I'll run them off tonight, and I'll give it to you maybe next meeting or the next. We don't have it done until July, but I want to keep it on the docket, so we.
For a decision whether to do it or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only other thing I hand wrote it in here when I was thinking about it was I got a follow up with John Burrell regarding the agreement with the schools. He had emailed me right before Christmas and said he had all the information he needed. And I'm figuring he didn't work very much between Christmas and New Year's, so I figured I'd let him go on that a little bit, give him a little breather. Anything else for old business?
Nothing. Nothing else.
All right, move on to new business. And that was, I think we covered that a little bit in Mike's report about getting a list of the attendees for the 2018 board meetings so we can get them reimbursed, get that taken care of. We talked about staggering the rec terms for the rec board members. And then at the reorganizational meeting on January 3rd, we've tasked the rec department with the Christmas party to look for some help on that. So,
I'd be more than happy to. That's fine. I volunteered every year for.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, you guys made.
He could fit in that shorter suit.
Hey, you know, I think he would. But you did such a good
before
job.
Before you leave.
So. So yeah. So hopefully, we can take care of that this year. The roads and bridges levy, the renewal. Mark, you want to go in on this a little bit?
Yeah, that's a 2.0 roads and bridges. The funding expires at the end of this year. What I think we'd like to consider is putting that on the spring ballot, the primary ballot, so that we can get that through. Joel, is that May? Is it May 7th?
May 7th.
May 7th? Yeah, to get that on the May 7th ballot.
We have to have it by February
6th. Yeah.
6th.
Yeah, so we've got about a month to get all of our paperwork into
two things have to happen. The county auditor certifies the funds, and then we
Pass a resolution for that, then we pass a resolution to, like we did for the cemetery, to the Board of Elections, saying this is the language to, you know.
So is that the only one for this year that's going to be on the any ballot, or was there a five mil?
There's
fire, five mil expires tax year 2019, so we'll last receive monies in 2020.
So there could very well be one on the November ballot.
So you don't think we should do them both at the same time? You're saying try and do one in the spring and one in the fall? For the Rosa Bridge, did we decide there were two?
Well,
I'm either up when Tony's levy's up or the rec, one of the two was on the same time the 2 mil was.
Rec is...
And they've always been together.
Rec is on its own. I'm sorry. You're right. On ballot 2020 with the fire.
So the road and bridge 2.0.
But so is the road bridge 1.0. So there's three on the ballot for 2020 if you don't go early. 1 mil road and bridge, fire 5 mil, and then rec 3/4 mil.
Well, that goes on in 19. That could go on in November.
Well, this road bridge,
the 2.0 one,
I just summarized them.
If you didn't want to put it on in the spring.
So three.
What happens if we don't put it on in the spring?
And put it on in November. Joel, when do, if the 2.0 road and bridges levy doesn't go on until November, mm-hmm, and is passed in November, when do the funds begin?
The funds don't change when you receive the money, but if you look on that, I'll tell you.
So there'd be no break.
Yeah, so last collection, that's the last part of that photo you took. Last collection, second half. So 2.0, normally would be last collection would be second half of 2019. So in 2020, we're not getting any more money. 2019 is the last year we'd receive money.
So if it passes in November, then you would have funds in the first half of 2020.
No, it would not. I mean, you would if it passed.
It's bad. Right.
Yes.
So we wouldn't have a lapse in money.
We'd not have a lapse in money.
Everything's good.
Right. Tax year's behind.
And how much more? You don't know how much more it's going to cost if we put it in May.
We got to tell them which ones we want early.
Well, because
it makes a difference on how much they charge if we put it on early.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So normal ballot November, we pay our election fee.
Next year, 2020, you have a 1 mil?
I think we're all right because, they're always together. They're renewals. That's what got going for us.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have trouble passing it. I think there was some confusion on...
Earlier.
Yeah. Did we have to get it on earlier to make sure we didn't have a lapse in monies?
But you guys did talk about strategically asking, getting earlier, a year earlier, putting on the ballot a year earlier. No change in when the money would come, that wouldn't change, but then it's out of the way. So if it did pass, you could run another year. That was something that was brought up.
Right.
So your one that you have expiring this year, the 2 mil, that's your, whatever you guys want to do. You want to leave that November, fine.
As long as we don't have a lapse of money.
You will not have a lapse of money.
And it's going to be cheaper to do it in November than it will be in May.
The question is, it was brought up was, do you strategically run one a year sooner so that you don't have three in 1 year at the general election or have to move one to the spring and then two in the fall?
Yeah, because you have a fire, a wreck, and a 1 mil road bridge all in 2020 coming up.
Right.
And the other concern is what if one doesn't pass? Which one would you be most concerned about? And that's the fire. So do you do it a year early? And if it gets approved, great. Then your money's secure. Or do you wait and see? I mean, not that it hasn't ever not passed.
Has it ever been turned down?
It's never even been close.
No, the fire never has, I don't think.
I don't remember it.
The road and bridge levies haven't, and I don't think the rec ever has either. But if you keep throwing new tax out there, you're eventually going to start having levy problems.
Yeah, I definitely am happy or content with renewals at this point in the game.
The only thing that we should think about, and not necessarily saying this November, but that 2 mil levy has not been, that I can remember, new money brought up to the present value, we're still on the value that it was like 15 years ago. It was the last time it was run as a new levy. And the way I understand it is if we would rerun that as new money, as a new levy, it would be brought up to anything new that had been built at that value.
So
Joe would have to get...
So are you saying that renewals do not get updated for current property values?
And if I'm wrong, Joe, correct me. Over the years, as you watch that money, that 2 mil levy actually starts decreasing the more years that you keep collecting on it without going back running it as a new levy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's why you're... It's why every year tax on money is less.
So that would be something to look at eventually, maybe in the next exchange. If you're going to do that, I would say, okay, let's spend the extra money. Let's run it in the early elections, because if it fails, can we can still run it in November.
So you're saying gamble on the 1 mil. Maybe
well,
next
the 1 mil is actually new money, because that's only a couple years.
Oh, okay.
Old, so that's pretty much present. We added that as a 5 year. It was listed as a 5 year temporary with the option of renewal, which by adding that, that brought that 2 mil actually back to most probably about where it would have been if it had been new money, the way it was explained to me when we did it. So right now we're actually most probably running a little bit more than what the actual 2 mil would have brought in as new money between the two of them. So to really do the one isn't really worth it. And where we're sitting right now with everything so up and down, I think we'd let the 2 mil ride again for another, what is it, 5 years?
I think so too.
Then on the next go around, we look at it as putting it back on as a new levy for new money. Then we'll come back up to whatever that value is at that point. Over the life of that 5 years, it might gain you another $45,000.
Right.
Which doesn't sound like that much for the kind of equipment and stuff we buy in the projects we do when you're doing asphalt. But it adds up as you save it over years. So.
Yeah, I'm thinking renewal on that. This, you know, definitely since we just got the cemetery passed, I don't want to go back to the voters and say, "Hey, we need another
barely
new."
Wins.
Yeah, you know, it barely passed. I mean, yeah,
renewal.
Yeah, definitely renewal. And you guys,
yeah,
comfortable doing it in November then? Not even worrying about May or
If you're saying previously those have not been close, those have been very well supported.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I think so too.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So Joel, nothing then for the early election, and we'll have the 2.0 on in November.
What about a year? Okay. So what about a year early for the fire? We're allowed to go 1 year early according to the Board of Elections.
So you're saying putting that on this year?
We couldn't put that on in November as well.
That'd be the guy you have to talk to there, because he's the one that's going to have to sell that.
What do you think?
Well, look at his face.
And I think with...
Nobody says no to him, I'm sorry.
I would be in favor of putting it in 1 year early just to assure that we have it and then that it's coming. You know, we could certainly do a strong campaign to talk to our, you know, residents and make sure that they understand, you know, we're just trying to stay in an absolute positive position for them, and we're looking at a renewal, not anything super, you know, no big change.
It wouldn't be a new one for them, it'd just be a renewal.
It would be a renewal.
Okay.
Yeah. We're just allowed to ask for it a year early. We still wouldn't get the money a year early because we're still getting our money from Merle. Okay.
So then we'd have two on this year.
Correct.
It gives us a little,
two
it guarantees that we're going to carry on with that money instead of only having that year to put it on.
But for the voters, they're not seeing, they're not having to digest three levies at the same time. Just for the
no, because there's only one this year.
Yeah, it would be two, two, and one then. Yeah. It'd be two, two, and one always.
Yeah, that would keep them from having three levies hit in 1 year. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
All right,
that all we got on the Roads and Bridges, that part of the new business?
Okay, so you've got what you need, Joel?
I think so.
Okay. Thank you.
We already went over the MAR agreement. Kevin's going to take that over to the MARs and have them look their agreement over. I'm going to skip. I had one I added when I got here. I don't know if anybody's planning on going, but the Lucas County Township Association dinner's the 24th of January. Out at Brandywine. Mm-hmm. Right, everybody got invitations for that.
Right, that just came out.
And then the last thing that I had on here for new business was, did we want to talk about some of these funds on the appropriations to before we go into permanent, which will be next week or next meeting, hopefully.
Before next meeting, I got a pile of bills.
These funds that we had that I got listed there, the 2231, 2021, 2011, 2041, 2402, and 2041. From what I've seen looking at all these, they look good. They're all in the green. We're not overspending in them in those.
And that's without any carryover.
Right.
Yeah, and that's without the carryover.
But like the Bono and Curtis lighting assessments, you had zero carryover. You actually didn't collect enough to carry over you.
Right.
So those are small in the permissive motor vehicle. The state, those are easy ones.
Yeah.
Very easy ones.
So just, so that way when we move into, we can really dig into the big ones. The general fund, the fire fund, the roads and bridge fund. Mm-hmm. But everything that I've looked at in these, I was satisfied with. I know Mark's looked at them. Dave, I'm sure you've been looking at them and going through them. So that's all I got for new business. Any other new business?
Yeah, I got one. I almost forgot about it. I had to write it in, too. I got the title for the Model A. So the Model A is titled Jerusalem Township. So that's all been taken care of. It took me a while, but I got it done.
Did that thing start up for you, Chief, when you guys moved it out there?
It didn't.
Oh,
I
pulled it out.
A lot of effort in there. We just choked out there. Thank you again for allowing us to park it in your building.
All right. No other new business. Anybody in the audience got anything?
Let me just start. I have my name is Brenda Sackle, and I have a question. Who is in charge of scheduling our township hall?
That would be me.
Okay, that was my first question.
Can you spell your last name, ma'am, too?
Mr. Bench, I just want to thank you for doing so much for the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts for so many years. You did it perfectly. God bless you.
Thank you.
Tony has always been there for us, too.
Brenda, can you spell your last name?
Z-A-C-H. Oh.
Not that it was even close. And what, Mr. Bess, what's your first name?
Bill Klingler, the second L. Klingler.
Okay. Got to put it in the notes.
Anything else?
I guess I have a bit to add. I'm Jason, Lohner. If you bear with me, I'm kind of reading along from a group of people out of concern of some notes that we put together. Kind of in regards to what some people here sort of saw as an odd injustice to the youth of our community regarding maybe their perception on some new operations or the way that the township hall is being utilized or rented. I'm a previous Cubmaster for Jerusalem Elementary, which is PAC 217. We have, I think, quite a few alumni of that PAC here as well. PAC 217 continues to serve our youth of our community in positive ways. The PAC has been involved in annual events that include collections for the food pantry, an annual beach cleanup at Maumee Bay State Park, conducting Veterans Day programs throughout the area, including the schools, along with numerous other philanthropic events that change yearly. part of the scouting, integral part of scouting experience in their adventure, going back to the 50s is when Cub Scout started doing Pinewood Derby. I'm kind of proud to say that Pac 217 has been a leader in that. We have national race qualifiers coming out of Jerusalem Elementary. We've had numerous district race champions there, currently still there. For the past two decades, we've been providing what we call a cutting clinic to assist our scouts with designing and building their personal cars for race competitions and design competitions. Over the past few years, numerous other organizations have come to that PAC and that cutting clinic looking for help and advice. Other organizations have looked at it, aside Cub Scouts, as a way to add teaching basic craftsmanship, elementary physics, and good sportsmanship to their youth. The PAC 217 Cutting and Speed Clinic is unlike anything else that's available in our region. It's not like going to Bass Pro and just handing some guy a block of wood and having him cut a simple design on it. The children are not only able to learn the science of building a faster car, they are able to complete their own personal dream car and design it and have it track ready all in one day. Dozens of adult volunteers are required to operate it effectively. This is not simply a Cub Scout event, as I mentioned. As a majority of our volunteers here are attendees from Jerusalem Township Girl Scout units as well. The clinic also serves to help other Boy Scout, Girl Scout, and other church group units and their youth that encompasses an area over three counties. In preparation for such an event that we've done for so many years, the Township Hall was reserved well in advance. On September 24th, 2018, resident Rebecca Halber, who's a Jerusalem Elementary Chartered Organization representative for PAC 217, made this reservation. The reservation requested for the hall, and I quote, January 4th, 5 p.m., dash January 5th, 8 p.m., cutting clinic for scouts, and was confirmed by the trustee that day. So almost 3 months later, on December 23rd, 2018, it's brought to my attention as being a volunteer that works this event, that after over 300 people have been invited to this, 3 months ago the reservations made, that this event was being canceled because the hall was rented out to someone else for something more important. So with 12 days till the clinic is to take place, and over a busy holiday season, numerous volunteers had to scramble to either relocate or reschedule this annual event. This incident, to me, is an example of bad business and poor community leadership. If we know the feather party is going on that day, can a non-resident come in and rent it out because he wants to possibly sell some illegal reptiles there? It doesn't make any sense to me. So there either needs to be a better understanding of maybe this event that has been going on for a long time, longer than I've been helping with it, I know that for sure, and how we set up non-resident use of the hall to try and maybe add a couple bucks to the coffers. I understand that adding money is a good thing, but to what expense?
Well, you didn't even give us the chance. We've heard from a third party. They've 2 weeks before, like he said, during the Christmas season, we went crazy.
Well, let me. I'm the one that books the halls, okay? And I had, prior to you guys getting here, I had apologized because the chief had to step in with the fire department.
Thank God. Tony, thank you again.
We
Tony
had...
Tony was there for us.
And I told Rebecca this when she called me. If I would have known that that was a cutting clinic for that magnitude, we never would have rented the hall out. I get these PAC people call me and say, I need this date, this date, this date, and this date. And I jot them all down in the calendars. I reserve them for their Wednesday nights or their Sunday nights. There was nothing stated that this was this huge event. So all I did was thought it was a regular scout meeting that I've attended here for the government stuff for certain PACs. So I did not know that it was this big of a deal. So it was just a move. I do it with the Broncos, if we get a paying customer, then we move them. I did not understand the magnitude of how big this was.
So before you move, you don't ask first the person who rented our township that rented?
Because it's never usually an issue, because it's always just a small pack, and they move it to, we can either move them up to the fire station, or like, oh, we can do it at St. Luke's, or we can do it over here. You know, that's what I'm looking at.
So
that's
now what we have to do, because I'm a trooper on 31, I'm constantly with the Scouts, with the Girl Scouts. So now that what we have to do is tell you the magnitude of people that are coming in. I mean, the rules have changed all of a sudden. This township hall is for us, and I don't understand why it has changed now.
It is for the residents, but we also have to make it available to rent. So, because that's what Rebecca had called me and said.
What if I pay for it?
Yeah,
listen, you're
a chance to pay for it.
I'm not saying we got to pay for every one of them. That's absolutely not what I'm saying.
What if I pay for it?
What dates?
It's locked up. It's locked up.
Yeah, it's locked.
Had you called anybody, I would have delivered a check to your door. Sure.
Exactly. That's what we think too.
What I'm saying, what I'm telling you is, I thought this was a regular Scout meeting.
You thought wrong. And you didn't call us.
Well, no, I didn't get the right information.
And then we'll give you the whatever money that we have to give you.
It ain't about getting money from the Scouts. I did not get enough information.
So from now on?
Regarding what it was. Is it a regular Girl Scout meeting? Is it a cutting clinic? Are we holding the Pinewood Derby race here? Because I know we've held the race here before. I've seen it. So if there's a date that's going on, and you guys tell me this is the Pinewood Derby, I'll make sure that doesn't get removed.
Well, I don't know what clinic means, and if you didn't know, you should have checked.
I did not. When I got the dates, I want you to reserve these dates. So we reserve them. They don't tell me what it is, who's coming. I know if it's a Girl Scout or a Boy Scout or a 4-H club. That's it. Or if it's a tractor club. Do I know if the tractor club's going to have 500 people here? I don't know.
Is that okay? Maybe you should do questions, because I'm sorry.
Okay.
It has changed, and all of a sudden now we're stuck with Tony over there with everything that he has going on over there, and kids left and right. We have to redo everything. We're thinking, what are we going to do with tables, the sawdust? I mean, we try to clean as much as we can, but I'm sure we made a mess.
Yeah.
No, you left the place absolutely excellent.
Like I said, Tony, thank you very much.
Okay. So, if I can retake the floor, please. I would gladly, for the undue stress that caused dozens of volunteers.
No, and parents.
I would have gladly paid the rental thing. Okay. The point being, Bo, it was never offered. And whether the point, I guess, being that you believe that it, what they call them are dens. So you'll have these den mothers who'll have groups of 5 or 10 kids.
And that's what...
meetings, and I know they've done a lot more recently, too, since you've taken over that.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. And moving them to whatever...
the fire station.
Whatever you call that room over there, where you know, do the meetings over there. Yeah, that's easy peasy to do that. Okay. The problem was the words cutting clinic are right here in the clinic.
Was that text directed to, do I have that text stating there was a cutting clinic for me?
I'll show it to you right here. This is to Bo Miller stating, we reserve that for the cutting clinic and then adding at the bottom the smaller den things at the bottom.
Yeah, so January 17th. So here, for me, again, going back, and I'm not going to dwell on this all night, I'm thinking a cutting clinic is probably for, this come from Rebecca?
Yeah.
I'm thinking for her den.
Right.
Not the entire pack of 217. I'm thinking for her den. That, in all honesty, I'm not trying to cause you guys problems, move the Scouts out. I'm thinking that this is her den. They're doing a cutting clinic on her den, not the entire 300 people that were here.
I guess the thing would be before offering it for rent to somebody else, if someone has it reserved, for me, good business. If I've already told you you have it, now somebody wants to rent it, I need to get a hold of the person who I've already given an entire room to. In that example,
and get the details.
Yeah.
Unless you get them before that.
That would say, hey, these people called, they want to rent it.
Yep.
You know, can we move you? Can we move you somewhere else?
So,
And at that point, I'm sure Rebecca's going to explain to you. We've got it. This is a massive. This isn't five kids being moved.
Right. And I apologize for this, but that's the way that, you know, last year was my first year doing the hall rental, and that was the way it worked. If I just would call her up or text Sarah Beavers, I think is the other one, or King.
Mm-hmm. Sarah King.
Sarah King. Hey, I got to move you. We got a hall rental this night. No, no problem. So that was, honestly, if I would have known it was 300 kids, we never would have moved it. You know, if it was a big event, we never would have used it, moved it.
This so. Happened, what, for $75? I'm a resident?
No.
No.
$75?
All right.
Money.
The key word is reserve.
Thanks a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah. The key word in this whole argument should be reserve.
And if something's going to change, because things change, call. There was no communication.
So I think as long as we move past this,
yep.
And we know in the future that this is a major event going on.
Absolutely.
It's as big to these guys and
other packs.
And other, we bring in.
We're lucky. We didn't bring the other 300 kids from Toledo.
We bring in, we have indigent scout units mm-hmm. that come, they rely on us for these things. They don't have the parents that are able to, they don't have the tools, they don't have the know-how. We have those things. So as long as we know for next time, I'm good with that.
Absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely. So.
And just ending with that, again, I want to thank Chief Parcelletti, Captain Amonette, the entire Jerusalem Township Fire Department for all their efforts, especially making last-minute arrangements to have the thing go off without a hitch. So thank you again, Tom.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Any other public participation? Seeing none, looking for a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Second.
Roll call, Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned.
D2.